This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
As you boys have said to for another pod where we, you know, maybe we're in that position. But it would be interesting if we do find ourselves safe with maybe a couple of games to go. Obviously, that's a big if. Does Denor get an opportunity? Does Essay get an opportunity if Emaku comes back in? I don't think we can judge whether Harris has progressed as a coach perhaps this season. If you've only given them two games at the end, I don't think that's really enough to judge him on. But it certainly would give you some kind of understanding. Is he looking to the future? Is he looking at these younger players that can carry us forward? So I would like to say that answer to that question is yes, if Harris has progressed, but only at the point that we're safe, I think. Now, on to a couple of other star comments, a couple of bits, and it moves me on nicely. This was right at the beginning of the show. Alex Mitchell and Adam Malakoy both will be like new signings, two lads pushing for the first team now, surely. Dan Riggs, we need to bring Alex Mitchell back in the summer, 100%. Hutchinson replacement all day. Guy deserves a chance, having it off at Lincoln. 100%, Alex Mitchell needs to come back into the squad. So, we've got a young centre-half who's playing very, very well, admittedly, in League One below us. We're talking about we need a centre-half. It's a position that desperately needs to be filled. Tanganga will go back to Spurs in the summer. Does Alex Mitchell get an opportunity? Ben?
I mean, you got to say, yeah, now, haven't you? I mean, if he doesn't... I'm always sceptical. I know Danny Mack came back after playing for St Johnstone as well. I'm always sceptical about the Scottish League and obviously loans coming straight back and just a level of the standard up there. But look, Lincoln are absolutely flying. They've got an ex-Leeds coach right in charge and he's still playing 90 minutes week in, week out. I think Lincoln are knocking on the door of the playoffs now, so that they're flying up
big
the
time.
League. So... yeah, I mean, if he doesn't get game time next year with Hutch on an age, certainly the wrong side of 30 by way, Tanganga going back, as I say, if he doesn't play and get in the side next year or certainly in the squad a lot more, then you're going to be looking at getting rid of him, aren't you? But I haven't seen him play, so I don't know how he's been getting on. But the fact is, I did have a look at how much he has been playing. He's almost played 90 minutes every game for Lincoln since he's been there. He's had a couple of knocks that I saw where he obviously got taken off and wasn't in the squad. But yeah, apart from that, he's pretty much played 90 minutes the whole season. So he's obviously had a decent, solid year with them. So yeah, you'd have to look to get him in the side.
And Jay, same question to you, but to get your opinion on it, I don't know if either of you boys saw his interview in the week. He gave an interview, I think it was to South London Press or News at Den. And yeah, he seemed very... I don't want to throw him under the bus here because this probably is a little bit unfair, but it's almost as if he's not taken any interest or he's got no thoughts on what's happening at Millwall, to be honest. He's just gone, I'm not at Millwall. It was clear that he knew, obviously, the manager change and things like that, but... it was as if I'm playing at Lincoln now. I'm enjoying my football. I'm going to concentrate on this and then we'll deal with that sort of, in the summer. clearly to me shows that he's a little bit switched on. And like Ben said, with the centre half is a position that we desperately need to fill in the summer, and a permanent one that's going to take us forward. Surely you've got the man in question, right?
I agree to an extent. I think his interview was brilliant. It shows maturity. It shows that, yeah, he is fixed on the task at hand. And he's loving life at Lincoln. Lincoln fans love him as well. I wouldn't be surprised. Lincoln will probably, especially if they get promoted, come hard after Alex Mitchell.
I was just about to add that, Dave.
I really do think they will. And you know, is the jump up a bit too much for Alex Mitchell at this level? Is he good enough to get in the squad? I would say so, 100%. Is he going to start every week? I still think with the return of Mitchell, we would still need to invest in the centre-half, in a half-decent centre-half that will compete with him for that spot alongside Cooper, because I don't think Cooper's going anywhere anytime soon. But I love everything about him. His size, he's quick as well. He could play out from the back. He seems to be a leader. There's a future captain in there somewhere. Love everything about him. The fact he's in League Two and playing well doesn't surprise me. But what will surprise me is if he could do it at this level as well, you know. So I'm a little bit up in the air about it. Yes, I want him back in the squad. I don't want to sell him because he's our player. And at some point, we need to start nurturing our own players and bringing them into the first team, because Lincoln will quite happily take him off our hands. And it won't just be Lincoln. There'll be other teams that are seeing his performances, because he's made a lot of teams of the week. He's always on their social media page, photos of him, you know, when they've won games and things like that, doing his little interviews, like you just said. So he ain't going to be short of suitors for newly promoted teams to League One or teams maybe going down from the Championship. So it's going to have to be addressed and sorted out probably fairly quickly in the off-season. That needs sorting out, because we either need the funds from a Mitchell sale and to work out what we need, or we need to bring him back and give him a deal and tell him he's going to compete for the starting job. But yeah, it's only good things that we're having a conversation about a player who's played really well on loan. So we, you know, that's the plus about it.
Just a little stat, just to add this team, before you mention your piece, Lincoln have got the second best defensive record in League One.
Yeah, and that's, and the thing is, obviously you take into account the keeper and other players, but if you're part of that, you're still part of that defence that has been very good. And considering the teams that are at the top of that league as well, who are very, very good in League One, that's some going. As Alex said there, Mitchell has done it in Bromley in the Conference, Orient in League Two, Lincoln in League One, surely deserves a crack at the Championship. I'd argue as well, didn't he go over to Scotland? Did he go up to Scotland as well?
He went to St. John's.
So maybe I think he deserves. I certainly think Harris will have a look at him. I don't think it's just going to be a case of right, you're out the door, and perhaps it's an opportunity. He's not the answer to all of our problems at the back. Of course, we know that, we probably would need to invest as well. But certainly deserves some form of opportunity. Can't see Tanga coming in shop window. Thanks to us, can we afford his wages? Cresswell more likely. The other player that was mentioned there in the initial comment, I have starred a couple of other comments, guys, to come back to. So if you haven't seen a comment or questions that's come up, I will come back to them and ask the guys a little bit later on. Adam Malachi. Again, I said it at the start of the show. If you haven't seen his goal yesterday for Sutton in their 3-1 win, go and check it out. It's a very, very good goal. People are saying, you know, Dan Sexton put in our chat, didn't he? See you, Murray Wallace. Thanks for your services and getting Adam Malachi in the team. To me, I think for him, it's probably maybe still a little bit too soon. He is playing for a side at the bottom of League Two. We do have to kind of remember that he's not playing at a team that's at the top of the division. They are at the bottom of the league and they're there for a reason. Obviously Steve Morrison is looking after him and giving him some game time and giving him sort of some confidence to play in the Football League. But I do think he is someone that certainly we really do need to be having a look at getting out on loan again, League One next year, give him the step up and then have him back in the first team fold. I don't know what you guys think of that.
Yeah. I would say it's a big difference, I think, with a League One challenging playoff side to a Sutton United that are staring down the barrel of getting relegated to the Conference. I think the huge plus we have is obviously that, that Morrison's there, and Morrow, I would imagine, will be giving very, very honest and fair feedback back to Harris in terms of where he's at. Again, he's played a lot of football. He's pretty much played 90 minutes since he's been there. Every game since he's been there, sorry. So, yeah, he's playing a lot of football. He looked a bit small to me. I haven't seen too much of him. I only saw his highlight, his goal, well, pretty much on repeat on Twitter this morning, and he looks quite small to me. I know he's a fullback, so you can probably get away with it a bit. But, yeah, look, these are the sorts of players, if they are any good now, you're going to be sort of getting them in and around the team, right? It'll be an interesting one whether we see Mayo as more of a forward player. Will Mayo play as a left wing back? Will that change now with Harris probably in formations? Would it have been slightly different with Joe Edwards and the way we were playing with him? So that'll be an interesting one to say whether he'll play further forward. But yeah, Malachi, I'm a little bit less confident on saying I'd like to get him back next year. I think I'd be more with you, Stephen. I'd like to see him go back out on loan and probably to a League One team.
I think as well, the difference, Jay, the difference with him as well is that I think he's a couple of years also younger than Alex Mitchell. So, you know, Mitchell's had that a few more experiences. He's had a few more, you know, Football League appearances and also in Scotland, whereas Adam Malachi, you know, Morrison gave him his first team debut, professional debut. So there's a lot of factors to go into that. But it just goes to show, and I think, you know, anyone that's, and I'm sure the listeners are the same, you guys and anybody else listening to this, you know, on repeat or as a podcast, John Berylson invested a lot of money into the academy and to keep that going and to make sure that we still had that, you know, churning through players. And I know we do give perhaps Millwall a little bit of a hard time with some of our recruitment processes, but it seems to be that the effort and the commitment and the funds that were put into that academy at the time that he did does now seem to be just proving its worth to us with some of these players, because they may not ever play for us and you know, they may not ever be the best players that we've ever had, but if their names are in the papers and they're on, you know, the headlines, bigger clubs will be looking at them, and it could be opportunity to raise additional funds, which would obviously help the first team, right?
Yeah, I totally agree. Look, it's always welcome when you see a young player doing well out on loan. It is his first stint. It is a process. He does need a couple more stints. He needs to work his way up and earn it. But it is a good thing. You know, I don't see him as a proper left back. I think he's more of a wing back. He's short. He's quick. He's got some pace. And by all accounts, he's got a goal in him as well, as we see the weekend. So, you know, yeah, it's definitely pleasing. You know, some of these youngsters, I'd like to see a few more go out as well. You know, Abdul Malik, maybe send him out, because that's another player who's just wasting away in the fucking hell, in the under 21s or whatever it is. So yeah, it is a good thing for us. And if they do play well when they're not part of our future, then you need to recoup a fee for them. We're not a very good club at recouping fees for players. We didn't recoup anything for any players this season either. We didn't do much last season in recouping fees. So we need to start doing what Bristol City do, doing what these other clubs do, where they have these young talent come through and they give them a chance. You know, once they've gone through their, earned their stripes, as say, and they're going out on loan, and then send them on for big fees. It's how clubs need to work, especially at this level, because we aren't financially dependent like some other clubs. I'd like to see him come back in the pre-season and show us what he's got before we make any end decisions. He did play in this pre-season just gone. And yeah, like the look of him, really like the look of him. So yeah, it's definitely pleasing that we are seeing the likes of Alex Mitchell, Malachi have some success, because it's showing that we have got some good players in the academy. We don't have to keep going outside to look for players. We have got some on our own doorstep, mm-hmm. and we should start really looking into that.
Absolutely. And another name that has appeared a lot, especially over the weekend, again, with no Millwall fix, I think fans are looking for any way of making a link to Millwall or you know, getting some kind of conversation going. Isaac Alafi, I believe 19 goals in League Two. And playing very, very well. Obviously, Stockport are going great guns at the top of League Two, looking like they could be set for promotion up to League One. the club have a sell-on fee and a buyback option. We have our resident football manager expert in Ben that can give us all the ins and outs of what the buyback and what that might actually mean for us. But Ben, if the opportunity arose and it wasn't a ridiculous fee, would you take a punt on bringing Olafi back to the club?
Well, I think you'd have to, right? I think we kind of briefly discussed it earlier in our WhatsApp group, and we always look to, or we like to mention young players that are playing in the lower leagues. Why aren't we looking at so-and-so? Why aren't we looking at him? We've almost got someone there that is an extension of the club with the buyback clause. I know it's not like that. His contract's at Stockport, I get it. But if we wanted to, we obviously put a buyback clause in there for a reason. And I'm assuming we negotiated one that would have been attractive had he of done what he has done in terms of scoring a lot of goals at Stockport. I'd be really keen to see or understand if anyone has any insights at what we believe that buyback clause would be. Because if it was, say, sub 500k, I think I'd have a punt, definitely, with the likes of, as we said, Bradders out of contract, Nisbet. I think personally still jury out on him a bit. It will certainly give us something completely different. He took his goal really well again Saturday. I've seen him a couple of times now. I think depending on what that fee looked like, I think I would definitely take a punt.
That good goal scorer should be able to put the ball in the net every level. We should have given him a go beforehand. For a League Two player, the buyback won't be massive. I think it's a no-brainer. So, Jay, before I get your opinion on this, for me, if it's not a ridiculous fee, which, again, it's League Two, they're not going to demand...
What have you got in your mind there? So, I said sort of sub 500k. What are you thinking?
I think if you can get him for it, I would say anything less than... I would probably say anything less than 500,000. I think it's definitely worth having a go. If they're going to turn around and go, we want 1.5 million or something ridiculous like that, then I would say
buyback calls. That's why it's in there. We're the only club that can buy him for that. They could sell him elsewhere for more, but then
yes,
percentage. But
yeah,
us,
of course,
if we went in with that bid that matched the buyback clause, getting my words out, then obviously they have to accept it. So that's why I was just interested to see what you
it's fees, isn't it? And Jay, obviously, I don't know what your thoughts are on this, but 500,000, bloke who's likely to finish up with over 20 goals at the top of League Two, get his team promoted into League One. We're always saying about we're a club that perhaps needs to be buying players. I know he was one of ours, and that will open up a whole, you know, can of worms, but one of the top goal scorers in English football in that division. Worth a punt for that money?
Oh, 1,000,000%. I was gutted we let him go in the first place. You know, he looked like he was making some strides. He was in and around the first team. He's big, he's strong, he's fast, he's young. And he's a typical Millwall-type striker, or a typical Harris striker, if I'd say. 100%. Why wouldn't you? You know, I think he'd want to come back. If they get promoted and we drop into League One, though, where does that stand there? Do you know, do we look elsewhere? Because I think the step up to the Championship for him again would be more appealing to him. I think he's enjoying life at Stockport. Would he want to come back to play in the same league? I don't think he would. I think he's moved on. But having that right of first refusal with a buyback clause is definitely a good thing for a young player like that. And if the fee is manageable and it doesn't put us hard up for strengthening elsewhere, 100%. We need a striker. So, yeah, as you said, 20 goals in League Two. All right, it's League Two. You could say bottom half of League One because, you know, they're probably going up. But, yeah, 100%, you have to do that. I'd love to bring him back. I didn't want us to get rid of him in the first place. So, yeah, definitely have him back. But there's some other names in League Two. You know, Langstaff, he bangs in 25, 30 goals every single season for Notts County, every single season. I'll take a punt on him. He's probably going to be worth three times what Olafi is. So Olafi could be shrewd business, you know, because the pedigree is there with Langstaff. So I think there'll be a few more clubs looking at him. He's done it over a period of time.
Just to add on that bit as well with Langstaff, so we were rumoured, I think it was last year, weren't we? And I think Middlesbrough.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, but Borough. Burrow had a couple of bids rejected. That I think the price would be.
And I think that was well north of £1 million, right?
Yeah, it would have been.
So I mean,
well.
That's what I mean. If you're kind of taking a punt, like I think when I read earlier, just on the news articles with Alafwe, just obviously prepping for this, it said that the fee was six figures. So for me, that doesn't sound like it's much higher than 100k, because otherwise they might have.
Mm.
Or you would have thought they might be a little bit more specific. Yeah. The fact they've just said that it might have just been 100k. So our buyback clause, you would imagine. I think Ant said in the comments there that maybe it is only about 200-250k. If it is that, I think it's kind of an almost a no-brainer, isn't it, to get him back?
Pennies,
especially
just swallow your pride almost as the club and just say.
Especially as well, let's face it, if you take, I don't know, again, we spoke about wages on another show. You take the wages that Tom Bradshaw's on, for example, yeah? If you stay in the Championship and you're going to move him on, if you take his wage, right, and then what you're paying him, you're not going to pay Alafi anywhere near that, because obviously he's coming in from League 2, so the wage will drop. And then the remaining funds you could put into the fee. So you lose a striker that's in his 30s to bring in a younger option at the same kind of cost. It's low risk business, really.
Good business.
In that sense. Yeah, very, very good business.
Interesting, not just to hang on to that point with Alafwe, but just it's interesting that we even put a buyback clause in his contract, right? Or the deal with Stockport. Have we ever done that before? I can't.
I think most clubs do it with
most clubs,
or a lot of clubs
do it
with a lot of youngsters. Right,
it's interesting that we've done it. There was obviously an element of, this could happen, and that's why we've done it. So I think, as I say, the fans might not be happy and going, well, why the fuck do we get rid of him in the first place? But I also think it could also be quite a shrewd bit of business from the club by saying, we've got the buyback calls. It's not ridiculous amounts more than what they paid for him. He's got another year of football under his belt. The team he's played for are going to get promoted. So, it could be a really, really good piece of business from the club.
Yeah, 100%. Couldn't agree more.
Spot on, Ben. You live near Stockport. Go have a word with him. They train in Carrington. Right, that's Ben's job for the week. Mike, I did see a comment here. So, going to Rotherham with my 10-year-old son, any of you going? He keeps telling me to go on your Who I doubt you would get work in Edgeways. I did, especially my transition from Spurs to Millwall. So, this is a great opportunity for me to plug that we did Who Are You? It went up with Omar, the show, one of the show's founders, creator, however you want to word it. That went up on Friday. If you haven't listened to it, please go and check it out. Jay has also recently done a Who Are You? That will be going out soon, so you can get to hear all his story and some real unresolved Jermaine Beckford issues come out in that episode. we could be here for hours talking about how much you imagine Ben last week on the live after Leeds. Well, that was Jay with Mr. Beckford. Mike, if you'd like to come on Who Are You, please drop us a message. We'd be more than happy to hear your transition from Spurs to Millwall. We don't buy it. We won't allow the comments to give you too much of a hard time. Going to Rotherham, I think Ben is that's again, it's local for him. There's a strong possibility that I will be going to it. I was thinking of doing one of that or Huddersfield, but the games come along and I just want to go to all of them. So there'll be some faces there. Come and say hello, or go and say hello to Ben or whoever. We're a friendly bunch. We don't bite too much. So more than happy to come and say hello. Couple of points here before we move on. One that's very interesting, actually, that I'm sure that both of you will be keen to hear. Could be a problem with Harris next season keeping the likes of Bradshaw, Coops, Hutch, because he signed them, or should he be playing the youngsters? The worry with Harris next season is he will play the likes of Alex Mitchell, Wesse Amaku, etc. if he keeps on the players who he knows he can get a tune of, Bradders, Coops, Hutch, etc. And the last one here from Tunbridge MFC, which I didn't know, I'm not aware of this, Tunbridge, if you can give us any more information on this, because I don't know what this is, but Bradshaw and Saville have triggers in their contract which have already been triggered. So that, I don't know, I'm assuming he's suggesting that they will be Millwall players next season. It's that's the trigger that he's talking about. If that's the case, then our piece on Alafwe coming in and the funds for Bradshaw has just been thrown out the window. But
didn't Sam do an interview recently where he was asked about his contract and he said, I want to get the season out of the way first. We're sort of playing well, and kind of brushed it off, or I just completely made that up?
He gave an interview about his contract and saying that he'd love to stay.
Edwards was still here, right?
Yeah, he was. I think it was just before Christmas, like real close to like a couple of weeks before like the Christmas period. And basically he was saying how much he loves it and he wants to stay and play and he gets the fans and this, that and the other.
I remember reading that somewhere.
It
didn't sound like he had something triggered then, but obviously that could have been...
No, but if you think by, between then and now and how many games that he's played... I think perhaps it could have been triggered. I'm not too sure, but it'd be interesting if that's the case.
And Chris Brown,
you'd think so. I mean, I'm not too sure. I don't know if there's anything. I don't know what Jay is probably looking it up now, but I haven't seen anything. Chris, Jay's Who Are You is 2 hours long. Go to the toilet before you watch it. No, it's not 2 hours long. You don't have to worry about that. Just under an hour, I think it was. Mike, okay, guys, we'll try and see you. Absolutely, come and say hello if you see us. We're more than happy to have a chat, all things Millwall. If West Brom go up and we stay up, do we think we could see Jed back at the Den next season? That would be the Neil Harris of Neil Harris signings, but much like we keep talking about coming away from old players, I'm not so sure.
Maybe an unpopular opinion here, but Jed deserves his guy in the Premier League as well. He's West Brom captain, isn't he? If they go up, I think he'd want to stay there and have a crack
at Premier League football.
At Premier League football, yeah.
Absolutely. Harris moved in Robinson and Dunn when he first came in. I don't think he's overly sentimental and he'll know the right decisions to make. Yeah, that was something we spoke about. Alan Dunn was a long-standing, he'd been at the club since he was a boy, and Harris wasn't afraid to let him go. So I don't think it's always sentiment, but if we can see if Savile and Bradshaw are staying, then we'll try and get something on that. But does that mean Harris can shoot them if they underperform? The EFL interview of Harris, Brad is clearly here next season from what Harris said. I've seen a lot of people say that, and I have listened to it. I get where you're coming from with that. But it would surprise me if he was so sort of open about that on a podcast and give that away. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm putting two and two together and getting five and just accept that it's likely that he's going to stay. But it would very much surprise me.
Staying, mate, with Harris in charge.
So if I could just jump in then, boys, on Salary Sports, which is a really good place to look. It's got that Tom Bradshaw's on just over six and a half grand a week, and his contract does run out on the 30th of June 2025.
Oh, maybe then.
Oh, wow. Okay. What about Sav or anything on Sav?
I'll look right now.
Chris Brown, American Rover, this is a great comment. Just emerged from a 24-hour power outage at home, and the first thing I do to check the connection is log on to you lot. American Rover, we appreciate you. And obviously hope everything's all right after the 24 hours. So you got your priorities right.
So to touch on George Savile, we earn 16 grand a week. And his contract runs out of 30th of June this year. So it does appear that Bradshaw is on the hook for another 12 months. And also it's up.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hear that? He's out of his protective boot and we could see him in a couple of weeks.
I think that with Bradshaw, though, it was always that he was going to be back perhaps for the middle to end of April, wasn't it? Which would have meant that he had maybe one or two games at the back end of the season. I'd love to see him back. Again, jury's still out whether keeping him on, if that's true and that's going to happen, is the right way to go. But I would love to see him back at least before the end of the season to
also, sorry to interrupt.
That's right.
There is a one-year extension option in George Saville's contract. The recent performances would say that that's probably going to happen, but the Millwall have not made any contact at all with his representatives. So it does appear that it's get the season out of the way. It's not the time for talking about contracts, and we will then assess it then. Tom Bradshaw's extension looks like it was done in the Joe Edwards era. So it was done a while back to activate his 12 months. So Saville is, wow. It looks like that. Saville will probably have his option extended. So Saville will probably be here, but it does look like Bradshaw is going to be here regardless. So that would throw a spanner in the works with having Bradshaw and Kevin Nisbet under contract next year. But only six grand a week he's on. George Saville's on three times.
I find that quite hard to believe, but what do we know? Those kind of things always
coming up from League One, mate, and coming from Barnsley. I know we said it a couple of weeks ago, right? I think we said it on the lead show. I think you'd be surprised at how much some of our players are actually on.
Yeah, I think so. He's done nothing.
Yeah, perhaps.
He has done anything in his career to earn a massive pay rise from Millwall anyway. He probably got fucking four and a half grand of that pay rise for last season.
Stephen, where's my key ring? Come and find me on Friday, block 10, around block 10, and I can sort that out. I've got a few of them left over, so by all means. Leno as well, I think he has an extension clause activated. If we don't keep Ryan Leonard beyond this season, then we might as well give up. That's all I'm going to say on that, because he's just been absolutely, he's absolutely superb. Yeah,
another Harris signing, mate. So 100%, if he's got an
option, yeah.
Then he's staying. Not that he doesn't deserve it anyway, he's a new player of the season, right? But
There's conflicting reports on all of these players, so I wouldn't read anything as a gospel, no, to be honest.
Not yet. Do we need to have a whip until round for our cousin across the pond, American Rover, so he can keep his power on? We'll get the Just Giving page sorted, and if everyone can donate a few quid, keep him going. Michael Dunn, Jay, I think you're killing off some of our listeners. Sorry, I just fell off my chair. How much is Savon?
16.5 grand, allegedly, but don't... These are good sources, but don't take them for... 16 on the nose, and it says that Bradshaw is on 6.6.
What he's saying there, Michael, is anytime you mention that, you can clearly quote Jay and say, Jay said, yeah, he's on 16 grand a week.
When you confront him in the car park and say, how are you on 64 grand a month? We'll just be pointing him to Jay's Twitter handle.
Well, this is interesting, because he was on six in 2018 when we had him. He was on 6,200. Barra gave him 16 grand. And then when he come back to us, it's just we haven't budged it. So I imagine it's we've had to match that for him to come back.
They're still paying that off, aren't they, Barra?
Yeah, I'd imagine so. Yeah.
Saville is nowhere near worth the money now. Let's be real. We have to be so careful with wages. They have to be ruthless. Imagine having someone who's 50-50 to be a starter next year on 16k. Yeah, well, I do agree. I mean, yeah. I love Sav. And I have done since he's been back at the club. He's probably been, if not my favourite player over the last three seasons.
He's 30 years old.
But, yeah, on that money, it's that's quite... If the sources is correct and they've got their information right, that's quite a large sum of money to give someone who's in their 30s and, as you say, may not be a regular starter. What was Tango on at Spurs? Jay, you're not out of the woods yet. I think you have to just keep researching that one.
I'll have a look.
And remember, please keep it in the Millwall family. Pay me. Michael Dunn, Steve, I totally agree about Lenny. How much is he on? Again, we'll get Jay on that. But I think you look at, you know, contracts and things like that. Let's face it, we all... as fans, every football club up and down the world, the supporters are looking for the transfer windows. They're looking for the rumours, who might be coming in, whose contracts are going to expire, that kind of stuff. We're no different. I mean, in our group chat over the transfer windows, we post so much crap about, you know, rumors and whispers and what someone's earned and someone's cousins, you know, knows this person and this, that, and the other. I would definitely think there's going to be a lot of conversations over the summer. We're going to be very busy as a football club over the summer, whether or not we, you know, whether we spend big money on players, we're going to have to be because of the amount of out of contract and loans and things like that. So it is going to be an interesting summer. But again, so, I think that would be for the time, that once we know what division we're in, then we can look at nailing down some of those transfers.
So Tanganga got a contract extension recently and he's now on 25 grand a week.
Because they had, an option to extend.
So yeah, so he signed a five-year, £6 million contract with Tottenham, which is an annual salary of £1.2 million in 2023. Tanganga will earn a base salary of 1.3, so he's on 25 grand a week. We're probably paying about 30% of that. Yeah, he's still contracted. He signed a five-year; it expires in 2025.
So I thought
his market value is £2.5 million.
I thought he was out of contract in the summer, and they had an option to extend.
Yeah, that's what I thought as well. But American Rover, here we go. If Mill were a beer, what would it be?
Oh, Carlsberg, probably. Just fucking no one really wants it, but you'll have it if it's the last one on the shelf when you smoke. And it's always warm. So it's a chore going to Mill. We all know it's a chore. Let's not act like we're a Stella or a nice cold pint of Guinness. We're a fucking shitty little Carlsberg and we make do. But after four or five, you go, this is all right, actually.
Obviously, I'm looking at it from the other angle. I'm actually looking at, you know, there's always a beer that's on tap and it always triggers people. They're like, why the fuck's that on? Like, it just annoys people. That's what I'm thinking we would be. But I don't know what sort of beer that would be.
Well, this one here, American Rover, surely it's Stella. I'm a big South fan, but can't believe he's on so much. That will come from going to Middlesbrough on big money. That's where it's come from.
It changed so, when he went there.
Absolutely. Sean Williams and Mbappe, Aidan O'Brien and Ben Thompson coming in next season. Yeah, sure. If Mbappe, we might have to get Mbappe's right boot or something. But Skull, Tuborg before they served it. They served it up before. Right. Coming, another topic before we come back to, we're not going to do too much on West Brom, even they won't be alive, guys, before the West Brom fixture. I think there's plans to have a pre-record in the week for you guys that goes into that, but we'll do a quick bit on that as this is the last live before then. Chris Brown asked a little bit earlier about the England, the situation with England and the flag and all this, that and the other. Firstly, last night, disappointing defeat for England. I don't know what you guys think. I don't know if you guys watched the game, but if anybody thinks that we're going to win the Euros with Gareth Southgate in charge, I think they need their heads banging together because it's very, very, it's just dross, isn't it? Let's face it. They don't excite you, do they?
I'll be honest, mate. I used to watch every minute of every England game religiously, and I will not watch an England friendly with Gareth Southgate in charge. It's painful enough watching qualifiers when we have three holding midfielders against fucking Albania. So, yeah, I can't watch us in a friendly with Gareth Southgate in charge. So I didn't watch a single minute of it.
But, well, and to be honest with you, lots of people do feel that way. And it's just very, very disappointing. On the issue with the kit, I'm not going to do too much on this. I don't know if you guys want to come in on this. I think, firstly, the price of the kit is absolutely disgusting. It's supposed to be the world's game, and to charge £125, or they give you the lesser version, not the non-playing one, for £85, is outrageous. Ben, obviously, and Jay, you both have Litlands. If you was buying your Litland a shirt, it would cost you £65 just for the shirt alone. That is, for me, outrageous. The FA, Nike need to have a look at themselves because, you know, costing people out of the game. And the issue with the flag, do I agree with it? No. Should they have done it? No. But I'm not as upset or triggered, should we say, by lots of people on social media. I think it's a poor choice and it probably should be rectified. But for me, the big disgrace is the fact that they are they're costing people and pricing people out of football. I don't know what you guys think about
The common denominator in all that, mate, is the FA. They're an absolute farce. Whoever has signed the flag off needs shooting, quite frankly. How they thought it would be okay to do that, or fans would accept it. And in the majority, let's say, is just so far from being right, it's ridiculous. And yeah, the cost of kits, manufacturing kits. Yeah, as you say, I mean, I just think back to when I was a kid, I had every England kit without fail.
40 quid a shirt when we were kids.
And it just, yeah, I got Els, the full kit for the World Cup, something that she'll have forever just because it was a World Cup and I thought we'd win it. But I mean, yeah. It's just ridiculous. It is just ridiculous. I mean, if I went and got myself and there was a shirt, you're looking at all for £200. It's just, yeah, absolute madness. But yeah, the common denominator in all that is the FA. They're an absolute joke.
Yeah, the FA are just money grabbers, aren't they? That's all they care about now. Football at the highest level is a business now. The FA are at the top of the game when it comes to fucking wanting it to be like a business. As for Nike, poor choice, poor fucking marketing, but it's got everyone talking, you know, so the brand is getting its publicity, but it's just poor. You could do whatever you want to the shirt, but at the end of the day, it's the St. George's Cross. You don't mess about with a club's crest or a club's flag, a country's flag or crest. You don't do it. They wouldn't do it to Germany. They wouldn't do it to Brazil. They wouldn't do it anywhere else, but the way the world is going now, everyone's trying to put their two pennies in. And unfortunately, like Planet Fitness, like Bud Light, Nike will probably feel some repercussions of that. At the end of the day, though, they could have gold plates, gold fucking ribbon through that kit, and they still wouldn't be able to play football properly, because under Gareth Southgate, it's pathetic. You've got some of the best players in the world, some of the very best players in the world, and this team is blessed with youth, where this is the team, this is the England team for the next decade. Yeah, this is how Germany used to play years ago when Germany were winning World Cups. They all played together. They was all young. It was the same team. This was France years ago. This was Brazil years ago. It's set up for us to emulate that. We've got youth with amazing players, and Gareth Southgate is running them into the ground. This holding midfield, everyone's a holding midfielder, needs to stop. That has to stop, right? Because you've got, and it's just so frustrating where it's, you've got Harry Maguire sitting at the back all the time. You know, Konsa, I think, is a real good centre-half, you know, and you've Ben Chilwell's playing, and you've got other good players that are coming through that are playing well this season, which was Sven-Goran Eriksson's downfall, whereas other players weren't playing well, but Gerrard had to play in that team, so he'd stick him left wing, that sort of thing, you know. That's going to be his downfall. I agree with some of the comments that Southgate should have walked. Well, you know, he's probably got us as far as he can. We had no business losing that final to Italy. No business whatsoever. We had no business going out of the World Cup the way we did as well. And it's a farce. It's pathetic. It needs to change. But yeah, the whole situation from the football on the pitch to what's gone on off it is fucking poor.
The only positive to add, sorry, Stephen, before we go into that, is the amount of memes that come off the back of it, because they have been very entertaining.
They've been brilliant as well.
And the Wales one was a particular highlight of mine. Yeah. So I've been enjoying that.
Cool. This comment here from Chris: England used to be a team I was proud to support. Now I couldn't give a shit if they win or not. I know Ben will agree with me on this. I will follow the England cricket team. I'll get up at stupid o'clock in the morning to watch them out in India, out in Australia. I want the England cricket team to do well. The England football team, I support them in the Euros, in the World Cup. I want them to do well. I'm proud to be English. I want to see England do well. But you just know at the moment, going into these tournaments, you just feel like we're going to get so far and they're just going to get beat. There's no that hope as a kid. And, you know, we're all very similar age here. That hope of we're going to the World Cup, we're going to do it. We're going to do it this time. It's just not there anymore. It's just been sucked out of us by the FA, Southgate, the system, the yes men, the everything. It's just, it's very, very disappointing to be an England football fan at the moment, because you automatically feel like you're only ever going to get to the semis and that's it.
Yeah, well, you zip nail on the head, mate. I think, and just backing up what Jay said, I don't only think we've got the best starting 11 probably in world football. We've probably got the best squad and squad depth. The squad depth's ridiculous now. And for us not, I mean, I've gone into this tournament just thinking we're just not going to win it because we've got Southgate in charge. And I just go through it now. Do you think if we had the likes of Pep, Arsene Wenger, any top coaches?
Yeah, 100%. Now,
you know what I mean? Any of these top coaches that are out there, do you think we wouldn't win these tournaments? Because I just 100%. Can't. It's not with the team that we have and the players that we got at our disposal now. It's just ridiculous, the talent that we have in that team. But we know we're going to set up with two holding midfielders and it's going to be the same. And it's just, yeah, it's just frustrating more than anything else. Just frustrating.
Yeah, agreed.
I support England cricket, Basball. Big fan of that American Rover. People have died for the flag. Definitely a bigger issue, in my opinion. The whole country should be raging about it. This is the thing. And again, I'm not going to go too political with it because we're just a football podcast. You know, we can't change too much. But I
we don't want to get in
all
trouble.
I would say is, I think Jay said it himself, other countries wouldn't have their national flag tampered with. And football clubs don't like it when their badges are tampered with. Yet it's happened to England. So, as a Scotsman, I hope you don't win anything. Southgate, Maguire and Pickford because you have the best squad in the world. So there we go. Me too, Stephen. Cricket is different somehow. The Barmy Arm was born out of gallows humour. I feel nothing for the football team. Who would the FA choose as next manager after Southgate? I mean, these are all topics.
Eddie Howe, that'd be my top choice.
This is perhaps over the Euros, guys. I don't know what the plan is, but over the Euros, maybe we could do that Millwall podcast, slag off the England football team when they get beat by France in the semi-final or something. I don't know. We'll find a way of entertaining. That'd be a conversation for then. The last topic for us, guys, obviously we've Thank been... Jay hasn't muted himself. That could have been interesting. The last topic of conversation, obviously, as I said earlier, we're not going to have a live before West Brom next week. There will be something going out. We don't know who's coming back off international break of any injuries. There's been no news so far. But all being well, touch wood and all of that, would you make any changes, Ben, to the side that started at Elland Road?
Probably not. Because I think it's going to be a fairly similar game in the sense of I'm expecting West Brom to have more possession than us. So I think it will be a case of sitting, keep it tight for as long as we can, and then try and do what we did in the second half against Leeds and come into the game a bit more. So I think the way we're going to set up, the way we're going to play, I think the players that have been playing just suit that, and I'd be amazed if we do make any more changes, being perfectly honest, unless it's enforced by injury, of course. But I just don't see us making any changes. The only thing I maybe do, but then I'm thinking, where would I move Lenny? Was I was going to say maybe bring Norton Cuffey in, maybe just because we're at home and try and be on the front foot a little bit more. But yeah, where does Lenny then go? Long-winded answer, sorry, mate. But yeah, no, I don't think we will make any changes.
Alex, I'll come to you in a minute, Alex. I remember getting up at 4 a.m. to watch Steve Armisen bowl the first ball, the Ashes to first snip. Yes, I remember that. And the year after, I think Rory Burns getting bowled first ball. But Jay, back to Mill. There's a couple of people. Start Denor, Casper in for Mitchell, Danny Mack in for Leonard. That's a really interesting shout. Would you make any changes to the side that started against Leeds?
No, I wouldn't, unless they're enforced. This is the team that's going to see the season out, ain't it? And unless players don't perform to what Harris wants. We saw Danny Mack make that mistake in that game, and Joe Bryan's come in, and Joe Bryan's played very well, so he'll keep his place. I don't expect any changes, because this isn't about tinkering and tampering. This formation, this team, it's worked. It's got us out of trouble. So he's going to stick with it. We know Harris will. Until he's either forced to through injury, like Ben said, or players just they drop off because of the tempo of that is the championship, you know. So yeah, it's going to be the same team that's set up against Leeds, and I don't think it'll be any changes for the rest of the season.
There's people again, another one there, Leonard and Mitchell out, Mac and Denore in. I thought Leonard probably did have one of his weaker games against Leeds. No shame in that, up against the quality of players that he was up against. But I think he's been our best player for a long time, and he's going to play. I just can't see him being taken out of the side. The argument for Mitchell and Casper, I know Casper looked good against Leeds, but I think the boys have summed it up really, really well. It's tried and tested. It's got us to this point where we're a little bit, not safe, but we're safer than other clubs around us with run-ins and points and things like that. But I can't imagine there to be too many changes. And finally, again, we don't know the team. We don't know any injuries. We don't really know what's going on. It's a bit too early yet. But can I have a prediction from you, please, Jay? Is he muted?
What's up, mate?
Can I get a prediction from you, please? He was muted.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I was muted. Mate. Hot, a real tough one, isn't it? A real tough one. As we've seen, we've predicted before, you know, with the likes of Southampton away and that, and Harris seems to do what Harris does. So I'm a gun to my head. I think 1-1.
Ben,
it's gonna be boring. This, yeah, 1-0, and I'd absolutely take your hand off for that.
Yeah. Okay.
Before I do mine, Chris. Is there any way you can find out exactly how many tickets Millwall sell away before the game? No, they usually post on Millwall tickets sometimes, yeah, like the day before the game, how many has been sold, but they never actually officially.
What I realised there, Chris, is if it's good numbers, they'll post them out, keep the updates normally a couple of days before. If it's shit, like it was at Blackburn, we realised when you'd arrived, Stephen, and I'm in my front room, and then we saw the numbers, didn't we?
Yeah, that was interesting. But we made the most of it. Danny Chapworth, who plays the youngsters. 3-0 Wall. Last bit before I do. Again, I keep saying this is another good comment for anyone that's going to Rotherham from Mike. By the way, free parking on Bank Holiday Monday in Rotherham. So anybody going and driving, please make the most of that, which is excellent. I am going to go with I can't not do it. I'm going to go 1-0 to Millwall. Obafemi, I'm sticking with him. As Andrew said here, we'll take a scrappy 1-0 win with a ball coming off of Obi-Wan's arse with Doomy, which is fantastic.
Obi-Wan.
Can we nick a 2-1 away win? Jay, I thought you'd like that. Chris, RE Millwall away tickets. I always ask the ticket office when I book mine. They always tell you. That's interesting. If you're interested, you can do that. West Bromwich Albion 0-0. Get no changes, but Casper is the only player that can find Obafemi. Interesting. And
I'll tell you what, actually, I just want to jump in on that because that's in my head. There was a stat that went out that, now, you know, I love Billy Mitchell. I think he's brilliant, and I think he's been brilliant. But when Casper come on against Leeds, the transition wasn't that much different. Casper created, I think it was like three times the amount of passes, had three times the amount of possession or along them lines, where it dwarfed Billy's game, whereas Billy does a lot more off the ball. So having Casper in there gives us a hell of a lot more on the ball, and it didn't look like it jeopardised what Harris was trying to do. So if that was a change that was going to be made, that would be the one that I would see. One of them central midfielders dropping out for Casper, and it probably would be Billy, but Harris will go with tried and tested. But that's the only one I'd be on the fence with if with a gun to my head.
Absolutely. And Mike here, Stephen, if I see you, ask me about working for Soccer Star and World Soccer magazines and playing for Spurs and Forest. Well, if you keep teasing us like that, you're going to have to do Who Are You, Mate? So drop us a message and we'll get that sorted. Guys, thanks for watching us. There's been maybe not as much the numbers as we usually get on the lives. Obviously appreciate that there is no Millwall to talk about. We haven't been beat, we haven't won, or there's nothing to really get our teeth into. So thank you very much for spending a Sunday night with us. Any final words from you, Ben?
No, mate. Just to add to what you said earlier, though, rally and cry, certainly for those two away games, big effort needed, big numbers if we can. I think they're the two real important ones. Hopefully, we haven't lost any momentum with the international break. I think, as we all said, if we could get 5 points out of the next three games, I think I'd be delighted if we can avoid defeat with West Brom and going to, obviously, the two big games. With a little bit of confidence, then, yeah, I think that'll stand us in good stead. But, yeah, biggest thing for me is this, let's try and get as many people up to Rotherham and Huddersfield as possible.
Jay?
What Ben said.
Love that. What else needs to be said? Love that. London Lion, less people because you keep changing the times. It's not so much that I think the international break has affected that. Fault. The time change. So usually we do 8 o'clock on a Friday, 9 o'clock on a Sunday. We did change it slightly this weekend, obviously, with the international break and stuff. But we will try to keep it as I say, 8 o'clock on a Friday, 9 o'clock on a Sunday. Mike is Teddy Sheringham. if it is, that'd be very interesting if he wants to come and do Who Are You? All the guys that are putting in comments, thank you very much. Appreciate it. If any of you guys are going to Rotherham, you can buy me a hot dog. Lilian Blue's doing my job for me again. Press the like, Stephen. Absolutely. If you could press the like and subscribe button, that would be very much appreciated. One more final thing for me, for the guys that are still here before I close this one off. I am doing a raffle for Byron Webster's shirt that he wore in Tony Craig's testimonial. All the funds are going to Mind. Unfortunately, I don't actually have it. Oh, no, I do. 1 second. You guys should still be able to hear me. All the funds are going to Mind Charity, and the auction runs until just before the final game of the home game of the season. For those of you who've not seen it, signed at the front and the back by Byron himself. The link will go in the description if you guys fancy buying a raffle ticket. It's £5 a go. As always, follow us across all of the socials, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. All the support on the channel is much, much appreciated. We will see you in the week for a pre-record at West Brom for a massive, massive home game. And hopefully it will be the first game of this eight that sees us that safe and playing Championship football next season. But for now...
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavourless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.